scattered to look for friends, relatives, and neighbors who had arrived in the last convoy.
Okay, Ellie's first impression is that things might be better at Auschwitz. The prisoners are allowed food and sleep, and the Polish prisoner in charge of their group treats them like humans. But I'm worried. The guards are still treating the prisoners like animals. Soon after they arrive, each prisoner gets a number tattooed on his arm. This was a common practice in concentration camps, and was a way of identifying the prisoners. The numbers and letters referred to things like the person's nationality, or religion, or what kind of work he did. But by stripping the prisoners of their names and simply referring to them as numbers, the SS officers had found yet another way to forget that the prisoners were human beings. The numbers were permanently tattooed on the skin, like brands on cattle. Even today, you can still see those numbers on the arms of Holocaust survivors. Let's keep going after the space at the top of page 40, where it says, "Days passed."
Days passed. In the morning, black coffee. At noon, soup. By the third day, I was eating any kind of soup hungrily. At 6 p.m., roll call. Then bread and something. At 9 o'clock, bed. We had already been 8 days at Auschwitz. It was during roll call. We were not expecting anything except the sound of the bell, which would announce the end of the roll call. I suddenly heard someone passing between the rows asking, "Which of you is Wiesel of Siget?" The man looking for us was a bespectacled little fellow with a wrinkled, wizened face. My father answered him, "I'm Wiesel of Siget." The little man looked at him for a long while with his eyes narrowed. "You don't recognize me? You don't recognize me? I'm a relative of yours, Stein. Have you forgotten me already? Stein! Stein of Antwerp! Raisel's husband. Your wife was Raisel's aunt. She used to write to us. And such letters!" My father had not recognized him. He must scarcely have known him, since my father was always up to his neck in the affairs of the Jewish community and much less well-versed in family matters. He was always elsewhere, lost in his thoughts. Once a cousin came to see us at Siget. She had been staying with us and eating at our table for over a fortnight before my father noticed her presence for the first time. Now, he could not have remembered Stein. As for me, I recognized him at once. I had known his wife, Raisel, before she left for Belgium. He said, "I was deported in 1942. I heard that a transport had come in from your region, and I came to find you. I thought perhaps you might have news of Raisel and my little boys. They stayed behind in Antwerp.